Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the pitch hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Non dimenticar. That ball should travel far. Giancarlo, he hits a grand slam deep in the left field seats. And the Yankees take a 5-1 lead.
All right, true story for you about John Sterling. It's really about me, but not John Sterling. Yesterday, I saw the Odyssey Sports account tweet out that highlight and say, John Sterling retires immediately. This is his last home run call.
Yeah.
And I listened to the clip and thought, are they making fun of him? They think it's a bad call and he should retire right away?
Because that's how they kind of phrased it?
Yeah. Just as if, you know, in the age of the internet where people get roasted all the time, I thought, oh, wow, they're saying John Sterling should hang him up after this? And no, that was not the story. He's actually retiring. Yeah. Immediately. His explanation is, I'm tired.
Right. Began the year like, I can't do 150 more of these or however many more there are.
Yeah. The Yankees have finally taken it out of them.
Yeah. Despite the fact they're actually good now. Like last year they weren't good and this year they're great. Nah, still don't want it.
Give it a few minutes.
No part of it.
Yankee fans love to yell about how bad they are. 12-5 though. Good start. Hey, and the Mets. The Mets have turned it around a little bit. They're 8-8 after an 0-5 start.
Uh-huh.
Peter Schrager has his mock draft up. He tweeted, here it is. After weeks on the phones with GMs and head coaches, my first 2024 mock draft. Now, Peter Schrager, NFL Network, is very good at nailing the Super Bowl teams and winner. He's in like five in a row.
Right.
It's amazing.
Which is insane.
Who knows if he can nail the draft? Here's the story of his draft. Caleb Williams, 1. Jaden Daniels, 2. Drake May, 3. J.J. McCarthy, 4. Giants, straight up. Marvin Harrison Jr. Roma Dunze. That's the top 6.
Yep.
The Colts trade up for Malik Nabers to 9. Okay. Brock Bowers to the Jets. Laiatu Latu, who was a defensive end in with the Bills, 12.
That's high for him.
I'm kind of surprised that that's the highest I've seen him go.
Yeah.
And I think that might be closer to where he should go. If you're one of the best edge rushers in the class, why are you making it to 20?
Right.
Or in that neighborhood. Okay, moving on. Brian Thomas Jr. goes 20th to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So four receivers off the board. Bills are looking at receiver 5 if they stay put. Wide receiver 5 is Xavier Worthy, 24th.
Fine with that.
Dallas. So now we're on to wide receiver 6. Bills take Adonai Mitchell, 28th overall, wide receiver 6 off the board. He writes in, Bills stay put and get one of the top wideout prospects. Big, fast, physical, plenty of interest in league circles. This is lower than where some other mock drafts have him going, but I could see him lingering into the mid to late 20s. Adonai Mitchell, 6. 31, Ladd McConkey, Niners. 32, Jalen Polk, Chiefs.
In the first round?
Yeah.
Really?
He says, Peter Schrager writes, Polk's a personal favorite. I keep hearing his name from people I trust. Uncertain in the Chiefs receiver room, especially given Rashee Rice's legal issue.
Huh.
And it's a, Patrick Mahomes gets a former Red Raider who spent 3 seasons at Washington making countless plays, blah, blah, blah. 8 receivers in the first round for Peter Schrager.
Yeah.
8.
Including Polk, who I don't think up until this moment I've ever seen go in the first round.
Me neither.
In any mock draft. Wow. And the Bills get a guy that everyone mocks them to get.
Yeah, Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell.
But if you look at the, I like to look at the drafts in that context of, okay, let me take a look at the AFC. Patriots got a quarterback.
Yep.
The Chargers got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
The Colts get Nabers. The Jets get Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm. Weapons.
Weapons all. The Steelers get Brian Thomas Jr. The Bengals go offensive line, defensive line. But looking at all that, by the time the Bills are up on the clock, I'm that context has me. You tell me, Chargers, Colts, Jets all went with like blue chip weapons.
Yeah. Schefter just tweeted out, like, not this is news, but there's never been an NFL draft with more than 19 offensive players in the first round. This draft is likely to set the record.
Yeah.
Arms race. A bit. This is the year to do it with all these receivers, and you got Bowers. So, and if you want to include the linemen in that, too.
I have a let's get stupid for you. Unless, I mean, we could, you know, we could talk a little more about this.
I'm into that.
Got a let's get
stupid.
You know what?
Let's get stupid.
Let's save that because I had an idea I wanted to bring up. So we've got our draft party coming up in 9 days.
Yes.
Draft night will be at Resurgence.
Yep. Get your tickets now.
Yep. I tweeted out a little bit ago. Resurgence. It's $45. That includes beers, well drinks, food.
Over 4 hours.
Yeah, we're gonna be there for a long time.
Yeah.
The Bills
first,
draft.
The first round is a while.
The Bills draft 28th.
Yeah.
But join us. Joe and I will be there. Inviting, you know, friends and family. It's going to be a good time.
Yes.
We're all going to celebrate the next wide receiver together. I've got the big board.
Yeah.
We're going to build our big board of receivers, and then on draft night, we're going to take the names off. So anyway, I got that big board, and Resurgence, I got a message from them. It's like, what else can we do for this party? And I think, you don't want to get inside my head for the things I want to do for a party.
Yeah.
Like,
get the smoker out.
I mean, like, I got ideas.
Uh-huh.
I immediately launched into, in my head, I didn't write this back, I'm like, what about name tags where you write the name of your favorite receiver of all time and you wear that?
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
Hey, it's a wide receiver train party. We're just
walking around like, hey, it's Peerless Price.
Exactly. Whoever your favorite receiver ever was.
Right.
And if you know, you come in, you say like, listen, I kind of want them to take a defensive tackle. Like, oh, okay, there's a television in the bathroom for you, sir. No, I'm kidding. Anyone's welcome. Anyone's welcome.
Uh-huh.
We'd love to have you all, but we're going to have a good time. We haven't had a draft party in, I don't know, years. I'm trying to think if the last draft party we had would have been when the Bills took Dante Whitner.
Dante Whitner. So 2008?
Howard and I were at Dave and Buster's.
For Dante Whitner?
For Dante, yeah.
How was that scene?
Fine. I remember thinking there's no way they're going to take Matt Leinart, right? Because that was when we lived in the... Could they take a quarterback?
Who was their quarterback at that point? Was that Lossman at the
sure,
end?
Sure, Lossman, Edwards, somebody, who knows. But man, when's the last time we were out for the draft?
I've been here usually for the draft.
Yep.
Even overnight.
I've been home.
I think I hosted 12 to 3 the night they drafted Josh Allen.
Midnight to 3 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was home for that, and then went out to the bar afterwards to meet people and say, like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. What year is Whitner? Is that 07?
I thought it was, like, 08.
08 is McKelvin. I just found. So 2006. 2006 is Whitner.
We had to have
Leinart went two picks later.
We must have had a draft party since 2006.
2006. Also, that's around the time where could you have had potential conflict between the draft and a Sabre playoff game?
Okay.
I don't know what that's like. But that could have happened, right? 2006 NFL draft. Like, they draft Whitner on April 29th of 2006. I mean, April 29th, like, that's the Philly series, isn't it? Probably.
The first game of the Flyers series was April 22nd.
Okay, so
because I was at a wedding when Umberger got labeled by Campbell. I was at a wedding in Massachusetts watching it on OLN.
All right, so it worked out. For a Buffalo sports fan that year and that the night they drafted Whitner in the first round was between games 4 and 5 of the Sabres Flyers series. So there would not have been a conflict then, at least. That's a while ago.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
What else should we do? What else should we do for this party? Besides get ready for the next Bills wide receiver.
Is there anything we could do bringing a football? You got to catch a pass for the prize. It's like it becomes a hell. Well, then you might have people like the Hail Mary situation. People just throwing each other to the ground.
Some target practice stuff with the football.
Target practice.
What if every time someone when they're like, "What kind of beer can I get you?" We play the sound effect, right? The ESPN, like,
yeah.
You step up to the bar, like,
yeah.
Sir, can I help you? You're like, yeah.
Do 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 do.
I'd like the IPA. Let's just do that.
You have to announce it like a draft pick.
Oh yeah, with
my third beer selection in the 2024 Jeremy and Joe draft party, I select
a Kolsch.
The number four.
Yeah.
Right, a Kolsch. That would be good.
Think of some more ideas.
Bring a jugs machine. Do something with that.
Nothing can go wrong with a jugs machine late at night at a draft party.
The Buffalo Sabres have relieved Don Granato of his duties.
Wow. All right.
Wow. As well as assistant coach Jason Christie and video coordinator Matt Smith. That just coming through via Sabres public relations, and now they've tweeted it officially. Granato is out.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I don't think anybody is... All right, here we go. Let's go. Don Granato's been fired.
Yep.
Relieved of his head coaching duties, he's been fired. So, what does that mean? That means they're on the search for a new coach?
That means a coaching search.
Yep. Right. And that...
Unless they announce Lindy tomorrow, or they announce... I mean, they wouldn't do that with Appert right now, because he's about to go through the playoffs. So, yeah, search, I assume.
Yep. Search. Lindy has got, is Lindy the favorite, or is this Seth Appert? Because here's the thing about...
It can't be Appert.
That's what I was going to get to. Here's the thing about firing Granato. I do think people like Granato.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes.
And
I do, like, this... Even, like, the players do. He's not even really that disliked, I don't think, by fans. Right? Like, it's... I think a lot of fans feel like it's time. And there, of course, are detractors that are like, okay, enough already. But I think Granato, among coaches where, like, time's run out, and it's three full seasons, like, it's not as negative as it could be. I mean, holy cow.
No.
Housley after 1 year, Kruger after a year and a half. Like, it's gone sour a lot quicker. Like, Granato will be looked back on, like, he did some nice things.
Well,
But it was time.
What if some... Sure, you want to say they got to a ceiling? You could make a lot of points here. Joe, call Paul Hamilton when you get a chance. I'll text him. We'll get Paul instant reaction on this as well. Yeah, Granato deserves credit for a lot of things that went right. I mean, he helped dig them out of, let's be real, rock bottom.
Right.
They were at rock bottom with Kruger, and rock bottom before the Eichel trade. Everything was really just beyond terrible. And they repaired some of that. And that's what made this year so disappointing, is they didn't build off that they kind of fell flat. And that is fine. Like, to fire a hockey coach is normal. They fire him with years on an extension, and that's what I'm getting to. Like, if I had to bet today, I bet it's Lindy Ruff.
I think that's where I'd want to put my chips, too. Also, is it not incredible that Matt Ellis survived? Whatever.
So
it doesn't matter.
It's not going to be Matt Ellis that's the head coach, right?
But assistant coach Jason Christie, video coordinator Matt Smith, like, they made other firings here. They did not fire Matt Ellis, who was an assistant coach here. No, I can't imagine it's Matt Ellis. I mean, there is not a less credible idea in the world than if they promoted him. But I don't think they'll do that anyway. Yeah, I think it's Lindy.
I think Lindy's got to be the favorite.
Wow.
And is that ridiculous? I mean, Lindy has said... Lindy has said he would be interested in coming back. That was before they hired Don. He talked with Adam Bonini. There was a conversation. I should text Adam to get him on and talk about this. Like, man, Granato fired. They did it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What does it mean? Does it mean that Terry Pegula decided that? Does it mean that Kevin Adams decided that? That's always right at the center of what happens with this hockey team. When Kevin Adams speaks to the media, will he say, I made the call? Will he say,
it was
we
a group,
discussed
a group decision,
it? Group discussion?
Yeah. That's, I would bet, more likely, but we'll see. Maybe he says it was my call. Man. Rod Brindamore has not signed his extension. Is he going to try that before doing anything?
It's a great question.
I don't think that's going to happen. But does Adams want to say, like Lindy's not going to have a big market out there, right? Like, I don't. Maybe he could get another job, but I'm not assuming that. Like, I wonder if part of the play here is until Brind'Amour signs that extension with Carolina, I am going all in and trying to get him. Maybe that's the idea. Again, don't think it's all that likely, but you could give it a shot. Because that is the credible idea. There is nothing more credible than if they somehow poached Brind'Amour.
No, I agree with that. What Lindy offers you, or I guess what you offer Lindy, or the match, why I would consider it to be the favorite, he is someone who is credible. He's Alex Tuck.
And he would take the job.
He's Alex Tuck.
Right, he's from here. Well,
basically,
he lives here. He's probably here right now.
He grew up a fan of the team. And that is the pool they often have to pick from. They couldn't, or they wouldn't go all the way to get Patrick Kane, right? He wouldn't come here. He went to Detroit. Your choices are people that don't have choices, usually. That's why I don't think Brind'Amour is real. Brind'Amour could coach almost any team in the NHL.
Right.
Why does he pick this one?
He could coach the Leafs when they fire Sheldon Keefe if he wants.
Right. He could do anything he wants.
Yeah.
Lindy has some of those chops and has coached good teams. And when he was fired by the Sabres, caught on pretty quickly, took some time off, went to New Jersey. But Lindy offers you real credibility, and I'm not even saying I think it's the best idea. I just think it makes sense because if they're out here to try to find credibility and also to change the way the players are motivated, coached, brought along, Lindy is very different. Very different. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. All right, some instant reactions there. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline for some instant reaction. Thanks, Joe, for giving him a call. Hey, Paul, there it is, right? Granato out, and he's not the only one. The news was some assistants as well, assistant coach Jason Christie and video coordinator Matt Smith. So three firings made, and I'm sorry, I'm just getting the statement from Kevin Adams on Granato. The Sabres tweeting this out. I'd like to thank Don for his time in Buffalo and commitment to the Sabres organization. He's been integral in the development of many of our players and has undoubtedly been the right coach to bring us to where we are now. But I felt it was necessary to move in a different direction at this point in time. My expectation is to be a consistent contender, and unfortunately that goal has not been met. I'd also like to thank Jason and Matt for their contributions to the team. This is not a decision I take lightly, but no, it is in the best interest of our team moving forward. That from Kevin Adams. Paul, good morning again.
Hi. Yeah, it's, as I told you that there was one day in between, the meetings with players and where it wasn't last year. So, I knew there were going to be meetings today, and that might be one of the reasons why they did the one day in between to do this. And the question is, too, when Terry Pegula was here, when Stefan Diggs got traded and he was here for a couple of games. I mean, were decisions made then, while he was here? Because, we had talked back then. I'm sure discussions were going on. I mean, they didn't just sit around and drink wine and that kind of thing. So I'm sure there were discussions going on. And, was the decision made then?
Adams, by the way, will speak today at 3 p.m., right. That according to the Sabres. So I'm sure we'll be carrying that live with Chopin the Bulldog.
Now, Paul, you've told us you believe, you said in the past, if Don Granato goes, Seth Appert is the guy. Do you think it is just as easy as that? Or are Joe and I right that Lindy would have to be in this discussion?
Well, you would hope that they would have a fairly long search and whatever. And, I know they think highly of Seth Appert in this organization. And I felt that... that might, especially with the two playoff runs that they've had in Rochester the last couple of years. And, he's done, a good job of developing players that, I know Kevin Adams thinks highly of him. So, we'll see if that's the direction they want to head in or if, they want to have a search. And, quite honestly, I don't think Lindy Ruff's the guy either. That's not the direction I would head in. I might be giving the New York Rangers a call at some point, to see where they are with Michael Pekka and that type of thing. But, for me, Lindy Ruff would not be who I would be looking to.
Sure.
Do you have any sense, Paul, or maybe, I guess by saying Pekka, maybe they could go any direction of, like, first-time head coach versus someone, it doesn't even have to be Lindy, someone with a long resume? You have any thought on, like, what they could be feeling, or maybe they'd be open to all of it?
I think they're open to all of it. I think, to me, it should be an extensive, you know, even if they do have it in their, you know, in their minds that Seth Appert is the guy that maybe they would like to go with, I would still think they should be looking at other options also. So, you know, it's you know, they've got plenty of time to get this done and plenty of time to look in other directions.
Matt Ellis was not a part of the announcement. Paul, should I be assuming that he's still on the staff?
If he is right now, yes. Okay. You know, he was, I think, part of the staff. The guy, Jason Christie, was brought here by Don Granato. They were friends. So I think that's one of the reasons, you know, he was let go along with Don Granato. Matt Ellis was Kevin Adams' person for the coaching staff. We'll see moving forward. I keep trying to tell people this. This isn't like coordinators in football. The head coach decides how a power play is run and how a penalty kill is run. And then it's up to that specific coach to coach that specific power play. It's not Matt Ellis's power play. He doesn't come up with what's going to be done and what's not. That's done by the head coach, and then it's his job to coach it.
All right. Well, Paul, that's today at 3:00, so we'll be listening. And your afternoon just got booked. You have anything going
on?
Don't
make any plans.
Yeah.
I hadn't even decided yet. It was a good joke call because I was in the shower.
No.
when this just happened.
Yeah. How do you think Granato will be looked back on, Paul? Like, it's not going to be like some legend of the franchise, but I think when people think back on other coaches, you know, the negatives usually come right up, and I'm not even sure you ever get to the positives. And I don't know, some part of Granato's story will be what he did with individual players, knowing that the team success never really got there.
Yeah. Like last year, you know, I thought he did a good job at developing some guys, and then they got stuck. And, there was a lot of hope and a lot of, as I told you last summer, I don't know if I had one negative conversation when people would stop me to talk about the Sabres. I mean, people were really excited about the team and where they thought it was headed and what was going to happen. And, he was part of that too. But then all of a sudden it stalled. And it just seemed to me, and I know we've talked about this at times, he was just out of answers. I just don't think, you know, he knew what to say or what to do anymore. And it just seemed like he was out of answers and what to do and, you know, and where to go. And if the players are mad about it, they have nobody to blame but themselves. They're the ones that went out and performed. If they're upset that Don Granato got fired, they have nobody to blame but themselves, because they're the ones that went out and underperformed.
Yeah. Paul, I want to make one other observation here, and you could say it's hindsight's 2020, but Kruger got fired mid-season, but before that, Bylsma, they wait till the end. Housley, they wait till the end. And now Granato, they wait till the end. And in this sport, you know how it goes. Sometimes a change mid-season can be the kick in the pants. In fact, when they did it with Kruger, they got that kick in the pants from Granato. And it's another year where they're going to miss by not that much that they won't try the mid-season move. And if they had done that, they could have gotten 25 games to look at Seth Appert, just to see how it goes. And I mean, even though this move represents that they're willing to make a change, it feels like that should be a card that they're willing to play sometime outside of a 12-game losing streak, because that's the only time they've ever done it.
Well, I don't think they were looking to make a change until, Kevin Adams talked to The Athletic and talked about, you know, the positives of Don Granato and the things that he sees. And he didn't think there was a need for a coaching change because he sees how the game plans they develop and those types of things. And so at some point, you know, his mind has been changed, whether it was by Terry Pegula, whether it wasn't. Again, that's something we'll never know. We're not privy to those conversations. And, you know, I don't think we'll ever know because Terry Pegula is not going to talk about it. So we'll never know if this was him saying this is what needs to be done or if Don Granato or if Kevin Adams actually did change his mind from what he said not too long ago.
All right, Paul, we'll be listening in 3 o'clock today for Kevin Adams.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton, the breaking news here on WGR. The Sabres have indeed fired head coach Don Granato. So they have a vacancy at head coach. Seth Appert is a name, of course. Lindy is a name. Who else? Let the conversations begin on what they need.
Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau, Craig Berube. We can do this. When's the last time we had a coaching search? Kruger?
Yes. And before that, it was Housley.
A long time ago.
Housley was assistant on a team that was good. Kruger was...
Is that when we thought they were going to hire Rick Tocchet?
Oh, maybe.
And didn't end up doing that?
Bielsma was the backup to Babcock.
Bielsma was the Babcock.
They lost
chase.
The Babcock sweepstakes, and they went with Bielsma instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, here we go. Coaching search.
On one level, it's funny, like, there's a lot of conflicting emotions. Like I said, I think a lot of people like Don. I like Don.
Yes.
I don't have any problem with them making the move or firing him. I'm surprised because we've kind of seen them. Here's how I'll say it, Joe. They're generally so inactive that when they act, you're surprised. Like, yeah. Whoa.
Right.
The Byram trade. You made a trade.
Yeah.
You fired the coach. Whoa. You guys do stuff over there because it's generally not doing stuff.
Yep.
All right. 803-0550. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. Plenty on that. Sabres live today, and Don Granato out as Sabres head coach.